gotta tell you, Pastor Fred is on vacation. Now you get me. So, and I have to tell you something. I always ask the Lord, you know, I ask the Lord what to wear, because he cares about even the little things. And so he told me to wear pink. He goes, "You look pretty in pink." And I said, "Oh, okay." But so when I got here, and then I saw Peggy's like, "Oh, we match. She's got pink on too," you know. And then the Holy Spirit brought to my remembrance that the color pink means passion. It's pretty awesome, isn't it? He is awesome. Okay, well, let's go ahead and get started. We'll go ahead and we'll open our Bibles to Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Okay, chapter 31, verse 3. We all stand up for the reading. Not that we're religious or anything. But I think Pastor actually got that from Nehemiah, where they, when the reading of the word come, they all stood up in respect to the Lord. All right, okay. Chapter 31, verse 3, Jeremiah. "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Ye, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." That's it. You can be seated. He has drawn you with loving kindness. He's drawn you. Okay, let's go ahead and I'll open up with prayer. All right? Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Help me to pray. Father, I just come before your throne, and I just thank you for this day and everything that's in it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you don't give us more than we can handle. Oh, Father, I just ask right now that you would just come, and we just want your presence in this place, and I thank you that you are dwelling within each and every believer in here, Father. Oh, Father, I just ask that, Holy Spirit, that you would fill this room with your Shekinah kind of glory, your presence, Lord, in this place, Father. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, I just ask that legions of angels would come in those back doors back there, Father, that you would surround this room. I thank you for the cloud of witnesses, Father, that is watching this all go down. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would just remove me out of the way so that I speak nothing of myself, Father, but I speak everything that you want me to say today, Lord. I just want to be emptied out, cleansed. I'm going to be a vessel of honor, because it's very important, because these are your people and you're entrusting me with your word. So, Father, I just ask that you would open their hearts, that your word would come, that you come down to the top of my head, out of my belly like rivers of living water, Father, onto these people, Father, today. I just ask this in the name of Jesus. And if there's any kind of confusion or doubt or disbelief in this room, we demand it out in the name of Jesus. You go out the doors in the name of Jesus, and we just release joy and life and passion and into this room, Father. We ask this on the name of Jesus. You said, if I ask anything in your name, it will be given to me, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. That was not really a short prayer, was it? Once you start talking to Father, sometimes you just can't stop. All right. Anyways, as I was spending time with the Lord, I like to say, you know, Lord, you know, Father, what do you want to tell your people? And so he told me to tell you that he loves you. You know, he loves you. And he said, the king is coming. So I thought that was pretty awesome. The Lord is telling us he's coming. He's on the way. So I just want to start with, on July 2nd, I did a Bible study here on a Wednesday night. And the Lord had given us a word. And the Lord was telling us that in Isaiah 21:10, he said, "Oh, the corn and the threshing of my floor." So the Lord was telling us that we are all going through a threshing process. And the threshing is actually the separation of the wheat from, like, the chaff. So I looked at the word threshing. It means to beat, more like pulverize. It's beating it. So some of you guys were feeling beat, you know, like some junk was being taken, you know, being taken off of you. You've been going through some turmoil, it felt like. But anyways, the Lord actually was saying that he saw everything, and that he is flying over you with a banner, over with a banner. And so it was just, he still is. And I feel like right now, even the Lord is saying, as I was doing that we are going through this threshing process. We're getting away the junk that we don't need, and he wants us to be pure and holy, and he is beating those things away he was doing it in July, and he's still doing it now. So I feel like the Lord is still doing those things to us. There's still things in our lives that the Lord wants to get rid of. Okay, so anyways, the reason he wants us to be pure, to be beat, and the threshing is going on is because he's called us to be holy. We are to be holy as he is to be holy, right? So Pastor Roy says, am I talking to the right people? Because are you guys still going through some stuff? I mean, it just seems like you go from once one thing gets over with, it seems like something else is cooking over here, you know? And it's just like junk is being ripped away. Well, the Lord is calling us to be holy. Because if you read in, holy means to set apart, you know, let's see, we are to be set apart. Sorry, people, I'm getting it. Okay. Holy, he wants us to be holy. So he wants us to be set apart, different from the world. That's what we're called to be. Be holy as he is holy. Okay, and if you read in 1 Peter 2:9, it actually says, but ye are a chosen generation. Who is a chosen generation? You are a chosen generation. And you are a royal priesthood, holy. Set apart, you're going to be different. A holy nation, set apart nation, you're going to be different than the rest of the world. His own special people, that we should show forth his praises of him who hath called us out of the darkness and into his marvelous light. All right, so God has called you. Before time began, he knew you. He knew who he was going to call. He's actually calling everyone, but some just don't answer. And he's called you out of the darkness. And so now you're in this process where you've got to get rid of the false comforts in your life. He wants you to be pure. Jesus said on the mount, on Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That word pure, I looked it up, the word pure means not mixed. He doesn't want you mixed in with the world. He wants you to be pure, spotless, blameless. He wants you to be pure. So I was thinking about that. I was like, okay, so the Lord wants us to be pure. So pretend like I have a glass of water and I put some salt in it, you know, and it's all nice looking good water, like that water looks good and I'm really thirsty and I need a drink. So if I drink the salt water, what's going to happen? I'm going to spew it back out because it's nasty, all right? But that's how it is with us. If we are not pure, if we look like a good drinking glass of water, but we have salt in us, what's going to happen when the world takes a drink of that? They're going to go, look, I don't want nothing to do with your Jesus. Your Jesus is nasty tasting. Left a nasty taste in my mouth. So we want to make sure we're pure. We want to be refreshing, crystal clear water, just like the water that Jesus gave the woman at the well. It says if you drink from this water that he has, you'll never thirst again. So we want to be pure. We want to be pure drinking water, because when people see us, and we should bring refreshing life. They will want something to do with us. They see that we're going through the same things, but there's something different about us. We got peace that withstands all peace that surpasses all understanding. They don't understand what's going on, but you know, because it's your Jesus. He's that fresh drink of water that you take, and that you're going to make it because you know you can go to him. But the world, they don't have Jesus. And if you are the salt water, I recommend that you hurry up and get yourself cleaned up. The king is coming. But anyways, if you like the salt water, you look like a Christian. You know, you say you're a Christian, but you really stink. You're really nasty. You don't want to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church. God is calling us to be holy. All righty, see here. During this time of the threshing that we're going through, this separation of the trying to be holy whole thing, the Lord is, what he's doing is he's burning away any kind of false comforts that we have. He wants to get rid of them. Because sometimes if we have certain things, we tend to trust in them more than him. So we need to trust the Lord and know that everything we have comes from him. A lot of times we set ourselves up with these false comforts. And the Lord wants to take them away from us, not because he's mad at us and don't want us to have things. It's because he wants us to be holy. He knows what's best for us. Our Father knows how to give us good gifts. You know, it's just like my daughter Heather, she loves horses ever since she was little, but she always wanted a horse. I want a horse, I want a horse. You know, a lot of little girls do like little horses. But anyways, it's like, you can I have a horse? And it's like, well, we should pray about that. Well, you know. So, but anyways, the parents are saying, oh, we don't want a horse, but you guys will never let me get a horse. You'll never let me get a horse. And I said, you know what? God can change my mind if he wants. Just pray. So anyways, she just kept praying and praying, but she never got a horse. Do you know why she never got a horse? It's because if she had a horse, she'd be so wrapped up with the horse that she wouldn't want nothing to do with her father. So sometimes when we don't get things that we want, it's for our very best. The Lord doesn't want to give you things that's going to draw you away from him. He wants to give you things that's going to draw you to him. All right? So, and you guys, some of you might be thinking, you know, this lady is talking about threshing. Oh, the pain. I don't want to talk about the pain. And it might seem, some might be new, and you might think this is hard. Like, oh, the pain. Who wants to be in here? Who wants to be in here and listen to all this pain, you know, the taking away of our things, the you know, the false comforts. And I'll give you an example of a false comfort. For me, even, I struggle a long time with eating because I don't eat right. So what I do is a lot of times I wouldn't eat breakfast. I go all day without eating, and then, man, when it was time to eat, I was hungry. So, you know, to eat a bunch. But anyways, I knew the Lord was calling me out to change. Because he was telling me, you can't live like that. You know what's going to happen is if you keep doing that, you're going to die early, and, you know, you can't praise me when you're in the grave. You know, I need to be doing it right here. I can't be his hands and feet while I'm in the grave. So anyways, the Lord, I started praying, Holy Spirit, change my mind. So, and what's happening is the Holy Spirit is changing my mind. See, I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord. He will help me get those things out. Because the Lord says it's not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It has to be the Lord. We keep trying and failing. It's because we're doing it in our own strength. We need the Lord. You have to call out to the Lord. All I did was I started saying, Lord, help me. I need your help. Change my mind, the way I feel about eating. Then I started thanking him for it. And so I am starting, my mind is being changed, and I can tell it is. I'm starting to eat healthier. And, you know, the Lord just places different things in your life. So he'll help you. He's an awesome God. He wants to give you good things. So anyways, and you guys might have different areas in your life where, you know, you got to get rid of. You know, some of us might still be hanging out in the world a little bit. You know what you're doing. I don't. So what is the Lord calling you to? My question today is, what is your passion? What is your passion? Is it really worth it? Because, see, during this time of threshing, we become tired. You're like, how much more of this can I take? How much more? How am I going to make it? How much more? Well, what is your passion? I was just like, okay, what is my passion? And I know what the Father's passion was. He wanted you and me to be saved. So what he did was he said, I'll give up my only son and for them. My passion was for you people. So and Jesus' passion was to line himself up with the Father's will. What is our passion? And I had to ask myself that. I went and visited another church and last week while we was on vacation, and I had to ask myself that. Because this guy was talking about being safe or brave, you know. Are we going to sit in our seats, or are we going to get out and do something? And I said, and inside of me, I said, I don't even want to go back to church. I said, I'm having such a good time on vacation. I don't want to go back. And I started thinking about when I go back, I almost feel thrown back into what I was doing. Don't get me wrong. I missed the other body, but I was like, gosh, I don't want to go back. I have to get ready for worship on Wednesday, and then we have children's ministry thing. I got to have something ready for that. And then Thursday, I kind of work for Lloyd for children's ministry, and then I know I got to get this message sometime, so when am I going to do that, Lord? You know, as soon as you come back, it's like, whew. And now this is besides your everyday life going on, too. with your family and all that. And so I had to ask myself, what is my passion? Why am I doing it? Why do I even care to show up? I could come and I could sit in these chairs and I could do nothing. But what is my passion? And I said to myself, you know, why are you doing that, Paul? And I said, because I love Jesus. Because I love my Father. And I love being about my Father's business. What's my Father's business? My Father's business is saving the world, reaching the lost, helping the brokenhearted, setting the captives free. I love it. I don't want to see anybody in no pain. I want to be about my Father's business. So you have to ask yourself that question. Why? Why are you doing the things you're doing? And are you doing the things God's calling you to do? Is God calling you to step up and start serving? You know, YWAM or Youth, was it Youth for a Mission or whatever? What, I just know as YWAM, but they're coming. Some of us are called to step up and go over there and help. And some of us are thinking, oh, I can't do that, not me. Yes, you. You're called. Somebody says, I can't do it. Well, you know what? Jesus gives you everything you need. Everything you need. So I just had to ask myself why. And it was because I love my Father and I love my Father's business. And some of you might be saying, yeah, but my Father's business is dragging me down and I'm getting tired. My flame is low. My fire for him is low. And I have to admit to you, when I was a newer Christian, I was all googly and in love with the Lord. It's like, oh, Jesus, he's so wonderful. He's so great, you know. And I still am like that to a point, but it wasn't like when you first, you know, if you ever have a crush on someone or, you know, you just meet him for the first time, like Lloyd, I thought, oh, he's so wonderful. He's still wonderful, but he's like, oh, he's so wonderful. And, you know, but when he would come home, he would take a little bit of time after work and we would lay on the couch together and talk. What happened? I said, we don't even do that anymore. What happened? We don't even do that anymore. It's like you come home and you know you got things to do and it's not like that anymore. Well, then I realized it's the same thing that happened to me and Jesus, because I was like, Jesus, what happened to us? I'm just not the same with you anymore. And I miss doing those things with you and all that. But you know what happened is the same thing that happened with me and Lloyd was happening to me and Jesus. As I spent time with the Father, as I started to spend time with Jesus, as I started to spend time with Jesus, he started introducing me to the Father. And then he was introduced me to the Holy Spirit. So you know what's happening to my relationship? We were growing. We were having a relationship together. And so we started becoming close friends. And next thing I started to realize that different things about God I didn't know. I didn't, you know, when I was real little, my dad abandoned me. So I had that little rejection, abandonment thing going on inside of me. You know what? As I started spending time with the Lord and started talking to him, he was saying, I was your father all along. You know, it's best that guy wasn't around. Because, he did quite a few bad things. And I would probably have been right there with him. But it seemed the Father was saying, I set you apart just for me. I want to show you the Father's love. I want to show you. So the Father wants to show you his love. And then my relationship is much different. It's a stronger relationship. It's a relationship that says, you're never going to leave me or forsake me, are you? You're with me. You go before me. You light my paths. You go before me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid because you're there with me. You're going to comfort me. You're there right with me. But see, when I was in that googly stage with Jesus, I didn't know that. I was scared all the time. Oh, you're mad at me, Lord? Are you mad at me? You probably want nothing to do with me now, do you? See, that whole, that's icky. That's not love. That's not the Father's love. The Father is, I love you with an everlasting love. I'll love you no more now than I will later down the road. I'm loving you. So, Dad, I just want to ask you, what is your passion? Is it to do the Father's business? Are you really in love with them? I have something I want to show you over here. This is a nar tamid. It's probably not exactly like the ones you see in churches. You ever go to church and you see the red light hanging up in the churches? Well, this actually is biblical. The light thing isn't, but what it stands for is. And what it is, this is a nar tamid. And what it was is it represents the eternal light. And they got that from Leviticus chapter 6. If you go there, you can read it. And it talks about how the priest, that God commanded that the priest would have a fire on the altar and never let it go out. Never let it go out. I'm talking, he said it three times between verses 9 through 13, I think it is. 9 through 13, he told him three times, don't ever let that fire go out. Morning and night, you keep that fire burning. You keep it burning. So it burns. That's not a real fire, by the way. Fire codes. But it's a blinking. So anyways, the light represents the fire of God. The altar, where they never let the fire go out. They were never allowed to let the fire go out. They had to, when it was raining, make sure the fire don't go out. Go gather the wood. When it was lightning, storm, and whatever, they got to make sure that the fire is still going. The fire can never go out. The fire represented the presence of God. See what the Lord is saying to us? Don't let your fire go out. We are called keepers of the flames. We are now supposed to be doing that, never letting the fire go out. So if you feel like you're getting low and you feel like, what am I doing? Why am I here? If your passion is getting low, that means you need to up your maintenance on your relationship with the Lord. We need to burn for Him. The Lord gave me this little thing here. It says, you got a low flame, right? If you got a low flame, what's that mean if you're in the dark? You can't see, right? If you can't see, what's going to happen? Well, in Proverbs it says, where though there was no vision, the people perished, right? The people perished for lack of, because they couldn't see, whatever. Understanding, that's understanding. It's a different one. But anyways, the people perished because there was no vision, the people was perishing, right? So anyways, that's what happens. Is there's a low flame, you can't see. And when you can't see, you really have no revelation. We live by revelation. So if we aren't going to God and we're not seeking Him out and we're not getting anything from Him, if we're just, you know, drawing away, because what happens is the enemy wants to take you over here and get you all busy over here. So you don't go spend time with the Lord. We got to seek the Lord with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We got to seek Him. We got to keep the fire burning, because if we don't, we're going to burn low, and then you'll be frustrated, and then you'll walk right out. We've got to ask ourselves, why are we doing what we're doing? We are Christians. Are we about our Father's business? I have some things here I wrote down that are my Father's business. Saving the world. Are we about saving the world? Some of us have a call to really go out and preach the word. Are we saving Sydney? Are we doing everything we can to get Sydney, you know, saved? That's my Father's passion. So what happens is you start getting so wrapped up in all this stuff where we're trying not to, all these comforts. I got to have these comforts. I got to go do this. And, you know, I had someone call and they needed gas. And I inside said, no one was around. I said, well, call back Friday. I said, sometimes you might help you. Someone might be here to help you. And the lady said, I really have an appointment, she said. And she said, it's an older lady. And inside, the Lord reminded me of the scripture He gave me the day before. Because see, I was keeping the flame tended. And He says, beware, you might be entertaining angels. So I was like, I better give this woman $25. So I said, meet me here at 2. And, you know, I'll give you this money for gas to get to the hospital. Well, see, well, when she come, someone else was showing up as she was leaving, and they knew her. So what happened there? See, the Lord wanted that to take place. And I said, Lord, if I have to give $25 up to have someone come to church and get saved, it's all worth it. Isn't it worth it? $25. $25 for to get someone into heaven. It's not ours anyway. It's the Lord's. Anyways, are we about the poor? Are we, some of us are more well off than others. We should be extending our hand out to help them. I mean, the Lord has given you everything you need. He gives you all your supplies, and he's just waiting for you to act. Are you about healing the brokenhearted? Do you want to set the captives free? Do you hate seeing those people in the, all down in depression? Start praying for them. Start visiting them. Some of us have means of just having the time to go visit them. Do you want to recover the sight of the blind? Do you want to recover the sight of the blind? How about, do I care about justice? Do I care about all the bad things that are happening in the world? Or do I just go, well, oh well. What are we doing? When I went to this church, they said that, I couldn't believe this, but there was like 500,000 kids kidnapped each year, and they're forced into sexual labor. Do you know what? The Lord hears every cry. And you know what? We are the hands and feet of Jesus. What are we doing? Do we just stand by and let it take place? What are we doing? Do I care if there's a homeless man sleeping on a bench? Do I care? Do I walk by and go, oh, poor guy? Jesus has called us to be about our Father. We are called to be about our Father's business. You know what we should do? I said, if I saw a homeless man, Lord, I would. I know sometimes you can't do anything. They need to help themselves. You could start praying for them. What would it hurt to take a little sack lunch down to them every day and drop it off? You know, put a little note in it saying Jesus loves you. Tell them about Jesus. Because you know what? That's a little seed you're planting all the time. Just keep taking it down. Do I care if there's children being abused? Locked in closets? Do you care? What is your passion? Evil prevails when good people just sit still. What are we doing? I said to myself, when I went on vacation, I did not want to come back. Because I loved all you guys, but it's like I didn't want to be thrust into that. And then I had to go through the whole thing about, oh, why am I doing this? Well, it's because I love the Father, and I want to be at the Father's business. Because I love him. He's called me to it. I'm going to lay my life down just like Jesus said. I want to give everything I have. I'm nothing. I have nothing. We need to lay it down. We're called to be keepers of the flame. Don't let your passion run out. I'm just going to pray for us right now, okay? Holy Spirit, help us to pray. Father, just come before your throne, and I just give you the glory, honor, and the praise. Father, I just ask that you would stir our hearts and that we would be moved. Lord, move our hearts in such a way. Lord, there's just people downtown Sydney, Lord, that need your help. Father, I just pray, Father, that you would just give us compassion for those people. Father, give us eyes like your eyes. Let us to see through your eyes, Father, please. Father, move us. Stir our hearts. Give us passion and compassion for your people. Father, we just love you and we praise you. Father, we're just going to ask all this in the name of Jesus, and we're just going to thank you for it. Jesus' name, amen. The Lord wants to stir us up. The Lord wants us to have his heart. And sermon's different than last night. I don't know what's going on, but It's like, Lord, what is going on? But anyways, a couple days ago, I felt like the Lord was saying, until we have compassion and can see through God's eyes, he is not going to release the power. I mean, yeah, we're praying for people now and they're getting healed, but he's not going to release the power. And then I came to church and I was talking to someone and they were talking about someone who really was need delivered. And they had compassion for him. And inside I said, well, do we really have to have that much compassion? I mean, Jesus already said we have all authority over snakes and scorpions. They're, you know, it's all under our feet. But then I was spending time with the Lord yesterday and I heard it. The Lord said, until you have compassion like he does, he's not going to release his power out there. You're going to see little measly, little healings. Let's don't be satisfied with that. There's so much more out there. We need to tap into it. Until we can have compassion like he has, till we have a heart like Jesus, a passion, he will not release the power. That is why everything you're going through, all the junk that's being burned away from you, has to go. Because you're going to rely upon those things and not rely upon him. We've got to have his eyes. We've got to feel like he feels. We've got to be his hands and feet. What are we doing? I mean, sometimes we just come in and we play church sometimes. And it's an awesome thing to be in this church because you know this church is alive and we're all proud of Russell Road Christian Center. But there's so much more we're missing. There's so much more we're missing. There is power waiting for us to be tapped in, tapped into. We need to have our hearts lined up with the Father's. We need to have passion. You need to ask yourself, what are the things I'm doing in my life? Am I about my Father's business? Is this what the Father's calling me to? You know, even if you're not serving anywhere, ask the Lord, jump in somewhere because he's eventually going to take you where you need to be. Are you about your Father's business? I do not want to be on the sidelines watching the game go down. Yeah, I'll be over there cheering for Brenda. Go, Brenda, go, Brenda, go. But it's like after a while, I'd be like, man, my butt hurts. I'm tired of sitting on the bench. You know what I mean? We've got to get in the game. We've got to get in there. So I just pray that you would just start seeking the Lord and asking him to help you. He doesn't want the fire to go out. He doesn't want your flame to burn low. He wants it to be on fire, passionate fire. He wants you to be flaming servants. In Psalms 104, it says that the Lord has given us, we are flaming servants, flaming, full of the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says that we can do more things than what Jesus did. Isn't that an awesome thing? More things. We're going to raise the dead. I mean, we're going to do more things. I can't even imagine. I can't even imagine. But I want to be about my Father's business. I hope you all do too. He needs a few good workers. That's what Jesus was. He was in his Father's skin doing the business. And he would not do anything the Father did not tell him to do or was not doing. And that's why all those things have to go away. We've got to be like him. And the Bible says we need to be conformed to the image of Christ. Conform means to be made in the same likeness as another person. We've got to be it. We're going to be it. I'm speaking it. Everyone in this room is going to be conformed to the image of Christ. Everyone in this room is going to have a heart and a passion. And they're going to see through Jesus' eyes. And everyone in this room is going to be acting as the part of the body of Christ, reaching out, helping those in need. Everyone, in Jesus' name. All right, I think we're ready to do our last song here.